From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
Any type of engagement that you can think of, birthday parties, wedding parties, all that stuff, Johnny, man, we really wanted to do it. And I think that's what you have to have, the desire to really complete your mission. God gives you the strength and the talent to do, and you have to develop the mentality to succeed. And we were like, never say never. So we continued on, and I had actually got offered to play with the Cincinnati Reds in 69, and I went to spring training, and I had a disc operation that same year, and we kind of got back together when I came back home. And in 1970, we were working with a guy here named Dick Scott that was a talent coordinator for Motown for many years. He had developed his own little camp of maturing young artists.
The late Ron Banks, founder of the Dramatics. The Dramatics have been one of the most prolific, consistently entertaining groups of the last four decades. Another of the great non-Motown Detroit vocal groups formed in the late 1960s. The Dramatics went through significant personnel changes during their early years as the group struggled to find a hit. They ultimately founded on Stack Vote Records with What You See Is What You Get. The single was Dramatics' first major national hit, peaking at number 3 on the R&B chart and staying there for 15 weeks. That single was followed by the R&B top 10 hit, Get Up and Get Down. The following year, the group released In the Rain. That single torpedoed its way to the number 1 spot on the R&B charts, maintaining that position for 4 consecutive weeks. That single also peaked at number 5 on the pop charts. There has been 13 Dramatics through the years, but once L.J. Reynolds replaced William Howard in 1973, the core of the group was set. With Reynolds and Ron Banks, a unique group harmony was created that is still recognizable today. Banks passed away on March 4, 2010, at the age of 58. I'm Johnny O'Hanson, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, a tribute to the late Ron Banks of the Dramatics, In Black America.
Like a star slipping out of place, sliding from the sky, tumbling through space. When you touch my hand, I swear I feel like I'm falling. Seems like I'm falling, like a wheel whirling round and round, rolling down a hill, spinning on the ground. Your kisses make me dizzy in the head, and I'm falling, falling. Uh-oh, that I have fell for you. Uh-oh.
Long story short, Johnny, this cat would come up to my practices on with the Mighty Midgets and the Pro Midgets up on Jane Field and follow me around talking about we're going to get a group. Then he would always tell me he got a group. So one day, I figured I would call him out. I told him, I said, yeah, I'm going to come to rehearsal, man. Let's go. We went over there. The rehearsal was me, him, his mom, and his dad. I mean, in other words, wasn't nobody there but me and him. And I thought that was kind of cool, you know. But we sang a little bit. His mom could even sing pretty well. And he kept following me and bringing me. And then finally, he just convinced me. I said, man, I'm going to be a baseball player. He said, you're going to be a singer, man.
During the 1960s, Detroit had more talent than his record companies could handle. Since not all the Motor City's gifted vocal groups could be accommodated by Motown, Dramatics, initially formed in 1962 as the Dynamics, recorded for a series of small record labels before signing with Golden World Records. When Motown purchased Golden World, Motown staff producer Don Davis went south to Stax and took the Dramatics with him. The group suffered through a series of growing pains before settling into its permanent lineup, fronted by original member Ron Banks and later recruit L.J. Reynolds. Born on May 10, 1951 in Detroit, Michigan, Banks attended public schools there and graduated from Northern High School. Banks began singing while we both were in elementary school. Throughout his childhood, he divided his time between singing and playing baseball. Banks was a pitcher on one of the best Little League baseball teams in the city of Detroit. He also played professional baseball. While attending Cleveland Junior High, he formed the Dramatics. Between 1972 and 1980, the Dramatics recorded for ABC and MCA Records, notching 38 top 25 R&B singles. Those singles include a cover of Me and Mrs. Jones, You're Fooling You, Be My Girl, and Welcome Back Home. In 2001, they received national attention for their professionalism when they saved the Sky Jock Tom Joyner Sky Show, singing two sets during his show's appearance in the Motor City on less than 12-hour notice. In 2006, a street was named after the group in one of the newest neighborhoods being built in the city. In April 2008, In Black America spoke with my marble shooting buddy, the late Ron Banks.
Oh, man, I almost was forced into singing. I was raised to play professional baseball, actually, Johnny.
I know, that's right.
You know, we had my first of all, in the family, everybody sang, and Mom would always have us around the piano at home, and then we sang at a couple of PTA things over at Atkinson School, which you remember a lot about. And then a couple of guys in the elementary school that went to at Atkinson, Chuck Jackson and Dwayne Jackson, we started singing together. And I really did it almost as a hobby, because baseball was just something that I wanted to do. And I enjoyed playing it so much.
Having grown up in Detroit myself, and also with you, and I want the audience to know that, what was it about Detroit and entertainment with singers and bands that was almost like it was in the water?
I would have to relate it to the success of Motown. With them having the Motown Review here in Detroit every year at the Fox Theater, to see the likes of Temptations, Marvin Gaye, Supremes, Contours, Miracles, I mean, Stevie Wonder, Mary Wells, the Spinners, the Time. I mean, they had, Little Lester and the Muppets, the Little Puppet.
Right.
And, to have Junior Walker, to have all those artists and be able to see them actually groomed and developed for national exposure, and to see it come to fruition, probably was one of the greatest things to happen for a city like Detroit. And with so many of the different neighborhoods and stuff being somewhat suppressed, because at those times, our race, the Afro-American race, we had trying times somewhat, even though a lot of our forefathers and moms and dads had paved the way for us. It gave us the ray of hope that was necessary to continue, even in education.
When did you come to the idea that you need to form a singing group?
Oh, man, I did. It's not like I came to the idea to do it, man. Me and Chuck and Dwayne, we had went over to some little girls' houses or something. We were walking down Ryan Road, and we heard this music coming from Pershing High School. And we said, well, let's go over and check it out. Well, they were having a talent show for the students at the high school, at Pershing High School.
Right.
And we wandered over there, Johnny, and we told the guy, we want to get in the contest. And the guy said, you go to Pershing? We said, no, but we were young, man. We were 12, 13 years old. No, we were 11, 12 maybe at the time. And we just started singing for them. So the guy said, damn, man, good kids can sing. So they let us sing on the contest thing, the
talent show. It was TCOM TNT, Teens and Talent.
Yeah, so, and they had some very talented people up there at the time. And so we did real good and everything. And there was this one guy named Elvis Wilkins. We called him Bam. And Al said, where you live? So Al had lived over on Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually in Pershing. I was in middle school at the time.
At Cleveland.
Yeah, at Cleveland Junior High School. And long story short, Johnny, this cat would come up to my practices on with the Mighty Midgets and the Pro Midgets up on Jane Field. and follow me around talking about we're going to get a group. Then he would always tell me he got a group. Mm-hmm. So one day, I figured I would call him out. I told him, I said, yeah, I'm going to come to rehearsal, man. Let's go. We went over there. The rehearsal was me, him, his mom, and his dad. I mean, in other words, wasn't nobody there but me and him. And I thought that was kind of cool, you know. But we sang a little bit. His mom could even sing pretty well. And he kept following me and bringing me. And then finally, he just convinced me. I said, man, I'm going to be a baseball player. He said, you're going to be a singer, man.
Come on.
From there, we went to Larry Reed's house. I sang for his mom and dad and family. Then we, the three of us, started singing. Then we took Larry Reed. We went over to Rod Davis's house. All this happened in a matter of a month and a half. And we got Big Rod. Rod was the bass singer. And Rod, when we went over to Rod's house, this guy was about 17 years old, about 290 pounds. And when he answered the door, I was little, you know, I was about 11, 12 years old, and I looked up to this big cat, and he said, yeah, can I help you? And I looked at him, I said, damn, I said, what, do you sing? Yeah, I sing bass. I said, oh, man. So we got Larry, we got Rod, and Squirrel had been in another talent show that they had.
Right.
Al had me come up there, too. And that's how the five of us first started. That was the beginning of the Dramatics. That was in 1962.
We'll be back with more In Black America after this message. Now, on with our conversation. When did Willie Ford, LJ, and the late Lenny Mays come to the group?
Oh, man, listen. We had beat the streets for about eight years. All kind of talent shows, singing contests, any type of engagement you could think of, birthday parties, wedding parties, all that stuff, Johnny, man. We really wanted to do it. And I think that's what you have, the desire to really complete your mission. God gives you the strength and the talent to do, and you have to develop the mentality to succeed. And we were like, never say never. So we continued on. And I had actually got offered to play with the Cincinnati Reds in 69. And I went to spring training, and I had a disc operation that same year. And we kind of got back together when I came back home. And in 1970, we were working with a guy here named Dick Scott that was a talent coordinator for Motown for many years.
Mm-hmm.
He had developed his own little camp of maturing young artists.
Right.
And we got with Dick, and he had this big talent. He was putting on this talent show thing down at the music hall here in Detroit. And we were rehearsing for it that week. And Rod had gotten, well, of course, Rod was the oldest guy in the group. Rod had gotten, he had just got older, man. And he had a baby by this girl, and he knew he had to take care of his family. And Rod went to sleep at rehearsal, and he kind of embarrassed. But Rod was big enough and man enough to look at it. He said, hey, man, you know, I've been trying to do this, man. I don't know if this is going to work. And I got to take care of my family, man. So Rod went on and did that. And I remembered Willie Ford from singing with a couple of groups at Northern High School that we had attended together.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Willie Ford one day and I said, Willie, I said, you want to be a dramatic? well, you was messing around with the Cavaliers a little bit at the time. And he said, yeah, yeah. I said, well, I'm coming to get you, take your berth. Won't listen to you. I already knew he could do it, but Willie had this special quality about his bass tone. And Larry Reed was truly a groupie for women. He loved women. He loved women so much. I remember one time we were getting ready to go perform in Flint with Aunt Little Anthony and the Imperials. The first big gig that we had with a national artist, Anthony and the Imperials. And he loved women so much, he hid up under the bed, and they told us he wasn't there. And we went in there and looked and searched the house, and he was hiding up under the bed there. So we knew he had to go. That's when we got Ouija. That was Ouija and Willie, myself, Squirrel, the best shake in the world, and Elvin Wilkins.
Okay, when did Lenny Mays, because I remember...
I was bringing you up to that point.
Okay, man, go ahead.
We were playing at the Apollo Theater, and Ouija missed the plane coming back in from Los Angeles. And I had a broke leg, so we had to perform with four. Right at the Apollo Theater in New York, you know, I got the feel not being 100%. Well, in between shows, I had went out to get some air on my crutches, and there was a guy standing here with a guitar, and a little short guy was standing with him, and he said, man, you that tenor with the Dramatics, huh? I said, Ron. He said, Ron Banks. Yeah, I said, yeah. He said, he bad, man. Like that, I said, so you know you hear that all the time. I said, well, what do you do? He said, I'm a singer. And I said, well, sing some. And he sang what you see is what you get, you know, with a dominant riff to it vocally. And I never forgot that guy. 1 year later, we had a problem in the group. We were in court together because it was still split in the group. Ouija and Al went and tried to take the name from us, which was crazy. Something that always happens when you finally become successful. For whatever reason, we have a tendency to want to split up. When the unity in the group was what really got us there all the time.
Right.
And so we had to replace Al and Ouija. And Squirrel brought this guy, this light-skinned guy with this dude in his head named Lenny Mays. And that was the beginning.
I wanna go outside. In the rain, it may sound crazy, but I wanna go outside. In the rain, cause I think I'm gonna.
How did you all escape Motown?
How did we escape Motown?
One of the few groups in Detroit that didn't sign with Motown, you all signed with Stax.
Don't think we didn't go audition, though.
Okay.
We went over and auditioned. The guy told us to come back in a couple of years. That's when we were little. Then when we had signed professionally with Golden World Records, which was his immediate competition in the city.
Right.
I mean, they had George Clinton and them, the Parliament, and they had the Dramatics, they had Sweet Jane, the Fantastic Four. They had the girls that ended up being Dawn with Tony Orlando. I mean, it was a bundle of talent over at Golden World Records.
Sure was.
But and I remember Mr. Wingate when he was getting ready to sell it to Barry. Barry said, this town ain't big enough to us. We got somebody got to go, and you look like it's got to be you. So he offered Mr. Wingate some huge money. Milton Wingate called us in the office and asked us did he want us to sign us over to Motown. And we asked him, we found how many artists they had already signed. They had 70 artists already signed to Motown. What do we want to become, 71? He's a boy right with us.
How did the collaboration with you and Don Davis, obviously when you got with him, things started to take off?
Well, Don met Don over at Golden World.
Okay.
Don had a couple of artists of his own little production company. He had Steve Manson and this guy named Melvin Davis, who were very, very talented. Steve ended up singing with Ace Day. She is not just another woman. She is not. You know, that was a huge record for her. And I used to make money singing backgrounds. I sang in backgrounds on so many different records in my life and time, man. God has really been good to me. I bought my first house with the background check that I used to say. But we kept a relationship through the years.
What was that first big hit?
What you see is what you get. Our first hit?
Your first hit. The Dramatics' first hit.
Well, we had a bunch of neighborhood smashes. Only in Detroit.
Right.
Bingo and Inky Dinky Wang Dang Doo and Your Love Is Strange was when we started making some noise. And then we, Jody, the song that ended up being with Johnny Taylor's song, was our record. We had cut that record and we did it so, obviously we had did it so good they kept our background on it when Don took it from us and gave it to Johnny Taylor. The seller. That's when we said to ourselves, you know, we're getting close. Getting close. And in 1971, we were blessed with our first meet of solo. What you see is what you get. In the rain.
Hey, some people are made of plastic.
Two signature songs, maybe more, but in my book, your two signature songs is Go Out in the Rain and Me and Mrs. Jones.
Some of the women would tell you, maybe you met a Miss Be My Girl.
Be My Girl.
Can't Get Over You. Welcome Back Home. Best things in my life. A Billboard sent us a thing that we had 38 top 40 songs.
Whoa.
40 with our 43rd album now. So, I mean, God has really been good to us and blessed us with some great songs, man. And some great fans, I will tell you that.
What is it about the Dramatics that keeps you all rejuvenated?
Well, we perform all during the year together.
Okay.
And the years that we spent together, it's been so many of them now, it's been over 40 of them.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like living the dream come true. I think when you stop doing that, you need to quit. To see the people still come out to see you to this day.
Mm-hmm.
You can smell a cologne and perfume on stage. You know, for them to take the time out to come see you, to enjoy records that you've made over years and years ago. Even sing them with you sometimes. I think that's enough motivation for anybody, that I want to make certain when you leave the Dramatics concert, you leave with a smile on your face and a little love in your heart and a lot of music in your soul.
Tell us about that collaboration you all had with Snoop Doggy Dogg.
The Doggy Dogg world. that was funny. That was really funny, man. The Balladeers, one of the Balladeers of all time. And well, what had happened, Snoop had grew up with his mom and dad, and they had been playing a lot of Dramatic music, so consequently it wore on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during the time a lot of the little rappers were doing the sampling of different songs.
Right.
The James Brown and George Clinton and Doggy Dogg and all that stuff. But Snoop, I guess he's got a different creativity. It's one of the things that I enjoy about the rappers of the day. Their creativity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that fond of some of the language and the downgrading of the women or their approach to how they deal with society every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoy the creativity of a Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, Lil Eminem, definitely a Snoop Dogg, R. Kelly, Beyonce and the girls, Mary J. Blige, I just love her. I like the approach and the creativity. But the thing that happened with Snoop ended up huge for us. It sold over 8 million across.
They say that you're in love with another guy. Would it be too hard for you to tell him why? I've got so much to offer you, my dear. The way I feel for you is very clear.
This has been a tribute to the late Ron Banks, founder of the Dramatics. Banks died on March 4, 2010, at the age of 58. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to your future in Black America programs, email us at lowercasejhanson@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at KUT.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O. Hanson Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 1 University Station, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 1 University Station, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.